Hey there.
Here's a simple question. What are the essential ingredients of a healthy art and social change ecosystem?
From the Center for the Study of Art and Community, this is Art is Change, a chronicle of art and social change where activists, artists, and cultural organizers share the strategies and skills they need to thrive as creative community leaders. My name is Bill Cleveland. In this episode, we're presenting another than our series on the building blocks of effective community arts practice. Now, when I say we, I'm referring to myself and my partners in crime for this endeavor, namely activist, poet, performer, teacher, creative change agent, Alice Lovelace, and educator, author, art and democracy animator, and sage cultural advisor, Barbara Schaefer Bacon, both of whom have been making and supporting arts-based change work, well, forever. And it will be exploring and debating what skills, strategies, and practice we think will be most relevant to artists who are working to build caring, capable, and equitable communities in these troubling times.
In this show, we'll be asking what makes the difference between a community where artists simply survive and one where creativity becomes part of the living infrastructure of democracy. Along the way, we'll be talking about how healthy community arts ecosystems are built and sustained, the dangerous assumption that a healthy arts community is one that drives tourism and economic development, and why the strongest cultural ecosystems reach far beyond the arts themselves, connecting artists with other sectors that shape the well-being of community. This is a conversation about community stewardship and what it really takes to build an ecosystem where artists and the communities they serve can flourish together. Alice and Barbara, welcome back to Art is Change. A lot has happened in the past few months, so before we start with this episode's questions, I'll just ask, how's it going?
So I am seeing Tidewater and Bay, and this spot is my sweet spot. So that's all good. And then around me is a swirl of close folks that need a lot of support. And around that is the world that is making me avoid the news. And I spent 2 days in New Bedford, Mass, last week for a public art exchange and an exchange for our state arts advocacy family. And they were both spectacular and made more so because they were in New Bedford, which is a good place for me to enter this conversation today about ecosystem.
Great. Alice, how you doing?
It's interesting what Barbara had to say about those folks around her. So I'm doing good. But yeah, this has been an incredible year for the loss of comrades and friends. So it's been a year of like getting older, girl. What you gonna do? Make these years mean something or more. But all in all, I'm feeling blessed. And the world, hey, the world's always been on the brink of disaster. Always.
Yeah.
It's true.
I'm here in Alameda, and I was in Pennsylvania for the memorial for our colleague and brother, Lenny Sloan. Yeah. And then in Atlanta, I was reconnected with a whole crowd of activist artists who are on a constructive path in the weird world that we're living in, which once again gives me a sense of semi-optimism. And then, of course, my grandson graduated, and the thing I came away with, which I really appreciated, was that young people were talking about the need for kindness in the world. And I'm heartened by it, very much so. Alice and Barbara, thank you again for doing this. And I want to acknowledge that with the passing of Brother Lenny Sloan, we have lost a treasured friend and singular community arts force of nature who also helped inaugurate this series of conversations. And I am so gratified that Alice Lovelace has joined us here. It is such an honor to have you as a part of this.
I am excited.
Yeah. So here we go. The first question is, what are the key elements of a healthy and thriving art and social change ecosystem in a community?
Are we defining community?
You are.
Go for that.
So that question makes me think of Atlanta, but it makes me think of the opposite. It makes me think of what can happen when you have an unhealthy ecosystem, which is primarily driven by the local government. Mm-hmm. Because it makes me think about what happens when government begins to usurp the field of the arts and use it in service of tourism. And when it takes the programming that would normally be that which artists and arts organizations would preserve and present for their community in partnership, and it makes it something that feeds the political ecosystem and does not actually feed neighborhoods or our neighbors, does not feed the lifespan of an artist, but is about creating viral moments. So I love my city, I love Atlanta, but it has made me reflect deeply on what is happening, I think, across the country, which is where there's been a real serious overstep of local governments and state governments into the field of the arts. And it makes me worry. That's our field. That's where we work. That's our livelihood. That's our profession. What are we going to do to protect our profession?
Wow. That's provocative. That's great. Because I was not going there. I was coming out of this experience in New Bedford where I heard a mayor who I know didn't necessarily like say, I want to be at the front of the parade to make the arts a part of the bedrock of New Bedford, but he authentically is there. And he authentically understands the culture and heritage of his city so that he appreciates the ecosystem that we saw on display. But I don't know that I can speak to how far the city will try to take the work. And whether it will step away from the very ecosystem that I heard and saw. I'll just say this, a couple things that came up for me. One is artists were understood to be at the center, both from the point of view of the government and cultural institutions, and even in other sectors, health or youth development, education, where artists are playing such important roles and where the roles they play are often the ones that help support their income through creative work in those settings. But the things that I heard there were, number one, an intergenerational community of artists and I saw how important that was. And I kept hearing over and over again, I think because BIPOC artists were centered in the meetings that I was in, there was this sense of looking generations back, generations forward, of appreciating, honoring, and showing gratitude for the folks who had built their practices in this community before them and for the folks who were doing the work of culture and cultural transmission with or without the label of artist and so on. I think that, and I kept coming back to, I don't think surprising metaphors, but one, if artists are at the center, then what's the metaphor around heart? How do we play out what goes in, what goes out, and the system of connection? And the other is reciprocal, that the key element that I heard in New Bedford, where artists knew of other artists, were talking about their work, were connected to organizations, organizations were talking about particular artists. There was much, much more of a interconnection, integration, but also reciprocal behaviors. One group feeding another, appreciating another, moving back and forth. So I was just in a much more organic space of thinking about ecosystem in that place and kept asking everyone. And they were saying, yes, this is what we have here. It's not like we have all the resources or all the answers, but we have a community. We have that.
So Barbara, that creative circulatory system you just described was right at the top of my list. In every study I've done about the state of the field, healthy community art spaces have a kind of creative commons where collaboration and mutual aid proliferates. Also, Alice, I want to thank you for reminding us that this trend that you described is to me a symptom of how easy it is for our communities, our cultural institutions, politicians to become, quote, pro-arts based solely on the idea that it is an economic stimulus, and that's it. That's where the value lies. In tourism-driven cultural ecosystems, I often see the community story being distorted, and there is an imbalance between visitors' desires and needs and the things that are important to the community, and that happens too much in the world. And it's a trap because on one hand, you got people say, well, the arts is just a waste of time. Other people saying, hey, man, we're going to build the arts-driven economy. So the antidote to me, the healthy arts ecosystem, is one in which the communities who will benefit or not from community art making and community development are defining success. I see that happen when you get cross-sector infection so that issues like education, public health, poverty are, number one, leading the list of critical issues to be addressed. And then artists and arts leaders are at the table and are part of decision-making and are asserting leadership in the community.
Then I think you have the beginning of a healthy community arts ecosystem.
So something from each of you. So an ecosystem is not simply one organization working in a community. That's definitely what we do. We do environmental justice work. We do health and equity work. We belong to many of our community groups. We prioritize our neighborhoods when it comes to our programming for free and resources. But it takes money to make things happen. That's part of an ecosystem. And when Barbara talks about the intergenerational work, that's part of an ecosystem. And those are some things that, and I'm speaking from personal experiences here, because Atlanta was that thriving ecosystem that you described, Barbara. It was artists and arts organizations leading the way, sacrificing our time, our health, our resources in order to build these things. And we built it strong. And we built it deep, and we have a deep commitment. I think we have an extraordinary number of organizations here founded by artists that are 30, 40, 50, 60 years old. And that's a testament to how long we've been doing this work. But what we have found is that when the money comes and the money does not prioritize the work, it prioritizes resources for the state, resources for the government, then that money is reinvested in ways that does not allow those legacy organizations to continue to deepen their work and to do their work. And it also creates a divide amongst generations. Atlanta is heavily new artists, new generations, and legacy organizations. We've been struggling for ages here for when do you support those organizations who are built deep into the community and have a longevity, a track record of producing more artists that do this work. When do we become a priority? Because we're not flashy, we're not jazzy, we're not on social media, we don't do influencer stuff. And I agree with both of you. I think what we do is we create those ecosystems for ourselves despite what happens around us. But that is a struggle that we had fought 30, 40 years ago. And we find ourselves back in that struggle position that if we want it, then we've got to go out and make those systems for ourselves. Funding is critical here. I don't know how funding's happening other places, but it has become really a dire situation, particularly for older organizations that have built these infrastructures and we're trying to support and we're trying to stay in the community, hold down these facilities. I don't think that diminishes our value. I agree with you, Bill, that we bring the value. We build our own systems. But I think that it is critical for artists to see that we are part of the business structure and demand that we be treated as a part of the industry. And which means, like you said, Bill, that we are at those tables for those economic decisions. That is something that used to happen here during Maynard Jackson's time, during Shirley Franklin's time. Doesn't happen anymore. But I also think that it is an opportunity, because I think an ecosystem is strongest when it's built by the people who need it. Mm-hmm. And that's the arts organizations in partnership with the community members.
I couldn't agree more. That is ground up, bottom up organizing. But how do we do that rebuilding? How do we reinvigorate that bottom up power?
So as we strengthen our community groups on the ground and we help them understand how the arts can be of service to them and we partner with them, then we help build a more informed community. We help them build tools into their work on their community building work. And it is community building that I am interested in. I'm just not interested in tourism. I'm not interested in what the bottom line is for a corporation that wants to come here. I'm interested in healthy neighbors, informed neighbors. The arts not only brings the art making, but like you said, the arts process can be used in every part of your life. Your building of political power, your ability to infuse enthusiasm so that people become aware of what's happening, awareness of your own power, awareness of your own creativity, but also an awareness of how that creativity flows into every part of your life. I think that what we have are a lot of arts organizations who build ecosystems. And the organization takes on that responsibility of creating something within their sphere that is a powerful thing that they build deep, that they build with the people. The true investment is in individuals. Then those individuals, their life is changed, and the people they touch, another life is changed, and that's where perspectives change. And I think we do that well. But I lament the fact that we can't have the money that we so desperately need to do that in not only this moment, but that we know that in my organization is 42 years old. I want to know in another 42 years, it's still standing and still doing work.
Yeah. So the three of us, we interact with multiple generations. Alice, you remind us that all ecosystems are fragile because they're interdependent. And when different aspects of an ecosystem get weak, it affects everything else, and they go in cycles. And so the fact that Atlanta set the standard at a certain point doesn't mean it stays there. I've learned that ecosystem health means that generations of leadership learn from each other and become well-informed and well-connected across multiple sectors, not just arts folks hanging out with arts folks. So cultural advocacy is the self-interest of people in public health, of people working in education, of people working in the economic realm. They are your advocates. They're basically saying, this is a critical resource we need in our community. That is a symptom of health that transcends the silo that arts folks often find themselves in. I also think it's important to recognize this systemic interdependence comes naturally to the arts tribe. They survive in an incredibly symbiotic way across a community, sharing, caring, mentoring, lifelong learning, constantly moving and changing, which is a vital force for communities like Minneapolis and Atlanta.
You know, I really resonated when Al said those groups and people who build it for themselves and it's strong. And in my experience, the folks who are in art and social justice ecosystems are working across sectors. They are working on opioid addiction. They are working on youth development. They are working on food justice. They are doing those things. It's not like we have to go out and intentionally create a path to intersectorial work. That's what's happening. That's what they all know. I met an Indigenous artist. His name is Robert Peters, and he was using the stomp dance tradition to engage folks to create a particular pattern in a field of grass that had symbolism to do with it being a sort of living memorial to folks who have passed or have been dealing with opioid crisis. It is not only for Indigenous people. He wanted to create something that allowed them to manifest respect for the challenges there that other people could come to. These are the strongest networks of art and social justice. And then the question is, do you see evidence that increasingly the broadest range of arts and culture are connecting with and having interaction and appreciation that is reciprocal with those networks? That's the question of whether a community has a healthy ecosystem. Roberta Uno at New World Theater always would say, we set our table. And if other people want to join it, that's fine. But we set our table for ourselves. And we don't set it to worry about who else is going to be there. And you reminded me of that as soon as you said it.
Yeah, and no doubt, if you are an arts organization and if social justice is part of your mission, that automatically means you work across disciplines, across agendas. It's the only way that you can make any kind of change. You have to build coalitions. You have to be parts of coalitions.
Yeah.
And you have to make sure that you are doing the work in an ethical way that remains true to both missions, the social justice mission, as well as to your own artistic mission. And I think we do that. And I think we do that very well. And what I fear most about ecosystems, even when working in community these days, is the separation between the generations, the ability to pass all of those lessons and things down. I think about how long it took us to get here. When the NANA began to give out arts grants, the what you call the mainstream, the symphony, the big theater, they were all line items in the city's budget. And it took five of us very courageous artists sitting on that panel to tell the mayor and the department that we would not approve any grant until they told us they were going to remove that line item from the symphony, from these other places, the museum, and force them to come into community with us. If we had to go to the table and be peer reviewed, they had to come to the table and be peer reviewed. And they did it. That was a healthy ecosystem. That put us all on a level playing field where we were peers together, and then we all were subject to the same peer review. I got to look at all of the paperwork from the symphony orchestra to see what the High Museum was doing. And it was, and that is a true hallmark, I think, of what you want to be equitable. I think that there have been some breakdowns, because while we build it ourselves and we work very hard to sustain those ecosystems in those cities, those towns, those places where we live and work, it does take something from the larger system to sustain us and to sustain the work. And we would be foolish if we thought that we could sustain a healthy ecosystem working in partnership with our community partners, with our neighbors, with our organizations, like-minded social justice organizations, and we could thrive and exist all on our own, because it's simply not possible. Because at the end of the day, when I look at that budget, something has to give. I have to give up something in order to keep the organization moving forward. And I don't like
Absolutely.
That choice.
No, it's a tough one. I just want to point out, it is so true that people who are in the art and social change world are almost intrinsically hybrid from the arts community. And what I'm talking about is having the same thing occur in other sectors so that your hybridness is truly cross-sector. So, for example, artists and public health professionals are partners working together and saying, we believe the arts are one of the most powerful public health resources we have in our community. That is the cross sector I'm talking about, is where the understanding and belief of the power of the work that we do has made complete and total sense to folks who are not intrinsically already predisposed to arts as a powerful and change resource. And a good example of this is the rise of the arts in prescription movement, where doctors are actually able to provide insurance-supported art-making and involvement to their patients. So before we go, like say, we'll provide links to arts and prescription resources in our show notes so folks can follow up on that. Thank you so much, Barb and Alice, for starting us off again with this best practices series. You know, this conversation, I think, reinforces the indelible fact that arts ecosystems are living things. They're relationships that require constant care and adaptation and renewal. Here's some thoughts that jumped out at me during this short time we spent together. First, healthy community arts ecosystems depend on reciprocity, where artists and arts organizations support one another. Second, sustaining a community arts ecosystem requires stewardship across generations. And then the arts are most powerful when they stop thinking of themselves as a separate sector, whether it's public health, education, environmental justice, or just neighborhood organizing. Artists bring ways of seeing, connecting, and imagining that every community needs if it hopes to become more resilient and equitable and humane. Finally, please know that you can find a link to all of our conversations about the building blocks of effective community arts practice in our show notes. Artist Change is a production of the Center for the Study of Art and Community. Our theme and soundscape spring forth from the head, heart, and hand of the maestro Judy Munson. Our text editing is by Andre Nebe. Our effects come from freesound.org, and our inspiration comes from the ever-present spirit of OOC 235. So, until next time, stay well, do good, and spread the good word.